Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. And joining me, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing
good.
Hey,
Steve.
Always good to be on the program with you guys.
Well, it is. It is great.
Another fun-filled day.
Yeah, direct access to folks, and we appreciate everybody that allows us to take a shot at giving you maybe some advice you didn't get somewhere else. You know, sometimes you go to counseling and you want advice, and then the person just kind of looks at you and wants you to come up with the answer from within. We understand mm-hmm. that.
Yes,
but
this
hey, this is different.
Yeah, this is different than therapy. We're not doing therapy here on air, right? We're trying to point people in the right direction and offer some good sound input. Mm-hmm. Pre-therapy,
although,
yes.
Although it's very therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
To have to sit still for an hour. That's very therapeutic.
Oh,
maybe.
That's very frustrating.
Yes, it is. Let's do something that we don't normally do. Let's go right to the phones and let's talk with, how about we talk with Jeff from Panama City, Florida, WEGS. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, guys. Thanks so much for having a great show. And I got to tell you up front, I'm kind of a traveling territory guy, and I pick up your program on different radio stations through different markets. I don't even have them memorized yet because I'm kind of new in this area, but it's always been something great to listen to and some great sound advice that comes from the Word of God. And I know you guys obviously care a lot about the people that are calling. So this is my first call, and I've got, I don't know, roughly around 600 to 700 questions.
We only have an hour, Jeff.
Jeff, even though we greatly appreciate what you said, we're still not going to be easy on you. So anyway, I really do appreciate your encouragement. How can we help you today?
Well, I need some advice because I'm at a spot in my life. I just turned 50 years old, and it's at a spot where we think we're finally trying to grasp wisdom. And I've got so many questions about my own family. I seem to be a guy that gets phone calls from friends all over Florida and Tennessee and Georgia for advice on what they should do. But I'm just grappling so hard with some sexual abuse that happened in my family to my children. At the hands of an older cousin when they were younger, and we didn't know this for years.
Yeah.
Once we understood what had happened, it made a lot of sense with their behavior and both of them turning their backs on God and going the other direction. I've got a daughter who's on her very last month of a 1-year prison sentence because of her self-medicating herself, to kind of get through the pain. Because she didn't have God to lean on, because she turned her back.
Yeah.
My son is 22, and he's, I guess, in the famous words of Dave Ramsey, it's a failure to launch. He's almost paralyzed going forward in his life because of a lot of the anxieties, and he's got some gender issues now that I know is all part of the sexual sin that occurred younger in his life.
Wow.
Yeah. So before we go to the break, what is the question, and we'll talk about it at the break.
Well, a couple of questions. One, what is the best way when someone, for instance, as children were in Christian school learning the Christian message, and then this happens, and they turn their back on God because they think God's not there for them, and the track of their thinking, the way they're wired to think, puts them in a place that it's hard. I can't preach to them. I can't give them the Word of God because neither one of them takes it serious.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I've got big guilt issues with that, you know?
All right. Well, we'll try to give you some help here. And you're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back right after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking here with Jeff. And Jeff's kids are a result of someone who didn't take care of a sexual integrity mm-hmm. problem. And so now, two lives dramatically impacted, tremendous pain and suffering and struggle for a moment of pleasure. The price, so much. You know, before it gets worse, get help. That's one of the great messages here. Get help so you're not messing up another person's life. Oh, my goodness. And you're messing yours up, too. But Dave, Jill, how does a father who is a Christian, mm-hmm. who's done his best, but here this invasion, this sexual invasion destroys everything. How does he try to win them back?
You know, it makes me think about the book that I last wrote, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Leslie, the other author on the book, does such a beautiful job of describing sitting with somebody in their pain as she's talking about some abuse that happened to her sister and how she just kind of walked with her and sat with her and helped her to kind of, you know, unfold what had happened to her and to make sense of it. So I would encourage you, maybe we could send you that book and you could read those parts. Because a lot of it, you know this, it's, you know, God weeps with us. He's there for us and with us in this pain. And in this life, we're not promised that we won't have suffering. In fact, we will have suffering. And it's such a hard thing because we do want to blame God. And yet, you know, we know as Christians that even though things are allowed, we certainly don't see all the things he does save us from and that he does want to come alongside of us. And without him, we really have no hope. So I think, if anything, emphasizing with your kids that God cries with them. And while he may not have stopped this from happening, he feels their pain. I think to offer understanding, to not necessarily offer a lot of answers with your kids, but to be there with them in this and kind of, in a sense, do what I was describing that God does with us. Sit with them, walk with them, offer them empathy, and help them to kind of recreate the story of their lives and to make sense of it.
Well, and I would take it another step further in that I really, everything I would do spiritually with them would be by example and mm-hmm. by listening, which is part of what you're saying. But I would spend start to spend time with them just to spend time with them. Mm-hmm. And just to love them and to love them unconditionally, regardless of what they're struggling with. And let him know that you're there and you love him and you're, you know, the mother does the same thing. And then you guys pray like crazy and get as many people as you can to pray for them, Because what God starts, he has a promise that he will finish, you mm-hmm. know, in Philippians there. And he's not finished with them yet. And,
right.
And so, you know, we're watching God work in one of our kids, and we just are amazed. And it's like 25, 30 years after he got his act together, but he's still getting his act together, and God is just doing some incredible things. And we have nothing to do with it except to pray for it, because other people are kind of feeding in. And that's part of what I would pray for both your kids, is that other people start to feed into their lives in terms of faith, because they're not going to get it from you except by example. They're going to get it from somebody else that right. is walking with them in faith.
Well, Dave, what I like about what you're saying is that sometimes, as especially Christian parents, then when someone falls away or they're hurt or something, we come in and we say, now here's the way it should be. And all the time they're thinking, yeah, well, it shouldn't have happened. And
right.
so the should yeah. means nothing to them, or what is best or better. Mm-hmm. And really, I think when you form the bond, you start at the bottom, nothing but caring about their hurt, connecting mm-hmm. over their hurt,
yes.
their confusion and pain. When you start there, there's a way up. But if you don't start there, there's no way to the heart. You
yeah.
you just don't ever get there. I think that that's so sound and solid, especially someone that's in jail.
Part of what yeah. I would
right,
pray
right.
for, part of what I would pray for, is that they would open up with me or with their mother and share the pain, and you guys could
right.
listen to the pain and not solve it, not fix it.
That's just what I was thinking.
Just
yeah.
listen to it.
Yeah, you're not going to fix it.
No.
Uh-huh. Right? But you're going to do what you would have done had you known at the time.
Yeah.
Right? So there mm-hmm. might be some action steps that you might need to take. Right?
Yeah.
If anything
mm-hmm.
needs to be reported,
yeah.
things like, you know, steps for protection, things like that. But you're going to sit with them and you're going to hear it and you're going to bear it with them, because they've had to bear it all by themselves.
Right.
And when
all
that
right.
happens, you give God the glory.
Yep.
Amen. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you called, and I hope that that's going to be helpful to you. And we'll send you Jill's book, two copies of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Hope that you give it to them. Just say, I want you to know, I'm there for you. I want to understand mm-hmm. and know and experience that pain with you.
And I'm then be with there you. With them yeah. unconditionally.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Paul, Columbus, Ohio. WRBS is the station. Paul, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, sir.
What could we help you with today?
Okay. My question is that I want to know the difference between, I'm not sure that I'm in love with my wife. I love my wife, but I'm not sure that I love my wife. I'm just trying to figure out that I've being in loving my wife.
Well, tell us, tell us how you feel about your wife.
I love my wife.
Well, what does that mean?
When I say I love my wife,
mm-hmm.
When I say I love my wife, that means that to me it means that I don't want to see harm come to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I care a lot about my wife, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to see harm come to her. And when she needs anything. I try to be there for her.
Okay. All right. But you don't feel like you're in love with her.
No, because I don't call her honey and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call her, and I just call her by her name.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's start with Jill. Jill, what do you think about the question
well,
and the situation?
Yeah, I think that's not an uncommon situation that happens as couples continue on in life. You know, you get involved in the tasks of life and you love the person because you're committed to them. But those in love feelings tend to come and go. And the feelings certainly that you had, you know, when you were first dating, I mean, those are the best in the world because of all the hormones that run through our system.
It's an altered state of consciousness.
Yeah, the infatuation. And so it's easy for people to confuse the in love feelings with actually loving a person.
Mm-hmm.
Part of loving is also, you know, the actions that we take towards that person. But I think at any point in life, we can rekindle those love feelings. They might not be exactly the same as when you first dated, but I think they can be pretty darn close and sometimes even better.
Well, that's the whole thing of restoring passion.
Right, right. It's a lack of passion, isn't it?
And one of the things about that's in the Mediterranean Love book is
perfect
the idea of playing together. And I was impressed by that years ago, that when couples play together, they restore passion in the relationship because there's that fun level that just stirs up the hormones different. I wonder, Paul, if what you're struggling with is what Joe was talking about, that in love infatuation at the beginning of a relationship, that serves a purpose to pull you together and get you to the altar and get you married, and then it kind of only lasts 2 or 3 years in terms of its intensity. It, as she said, it comes back. It can come back and kind of come and leave. But now you're faced with the work of love. And so one of the things that I do with couples who say this is I have them write down 10 things that their spouse could do for them. So your wife would write down 10 things that you could do for her that shows that she loves you, or that you love her. And she writes down 10 things that you could do for her that shows you love her. And when you start doing those behaviors of love, the feelings of in love,
the feelings will
get
follow,
stirred up.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Mediterranean Love Plan is
it's perfect
that,
for this.
It's saying, okay, so maybe you don't have these feelings, neither of you or one of you.
Mm-hmm.
Here are 7 things to participate in that can bring those back. One of them being playing. There are other things like experiencing the beauty of the world together or savoring food together and making things an opportunity for connection and getting in tune with each other. And so I'll send you a copy of the Mediterranean Love Plan because you'll find something in there that if you guys will do it, it's going to start a little spark and you'll get that feeling. I think all of us want that feeling of passion, but it does die and you can get it back.
Well,
and that's the way.
Well,
and
it's reflective of other things in your life too, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And we're always looking for things that will excite us and we often turn towards new things, but we need to redirect those feelings back towards a spouse and be intentional about it.
Right.
You know, years ago when I was first on this program, I talked about, you know, when you come home at night or whenever you have left for several hours, when you come back, you give your spouse a longer kiss, like a 10-second kiss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in doing that, you know, it's pausing for a moment to focus on them, and it helps to stir up some passion.
Yeah.
Well, a good
Something
point.
Something simple like that.
And there are different phases and different roles. Some men, they can just be crazy about a single person and a newly married bride. But when she becomes a mother, they love her.
That's
but
another
they
issue.
Fall out of love. Mm-hmm. And now, as at our age, we notice that some can handle that, but they can't love a grandmother. And,
right.
and so it changes, but you can get it back. You can be romantic even with a grandmother.
There's a triangle of love that one of the researchers described where there's passion, there's commitment, and there's intimacy, the sense of knowing each other. But the foundational part of it is that commitment. You stay with it. I've been married for a long, long time, and I've been in and out of love with my wife over the years at different occasions. But there is a commitment that carried me through those times, and it came back, and it always does because you stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
mm-hmm.
something important about that. So stay the course, Paul.
All right. I'm going to send you a Mediterranean Love Plan. Anybody else can get it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There's another way to stay together, and that's in a trauma bond. We don't want that for you.
No.
That's just horrible. But here is a clip from one of our programs on TV.NewLife.com about the trauma bond.
There's a word, reseduction. Mm-hmm. And one act of reseduction, candy, flowers, note, hug, wipes out, for the person that's in the trauma bond, it wipes out all of the beating and the evil. And you really do think that this time it's going to be different.
Every time you think this time it's going to be different. Yeah. But there is a pattern. The other part of it is that oftentimes she blames herself for the abuse.
Sure.
I set him off. I should have known better. I need to improve on how I walk on I walk on eggs, although they don't say that.
After the reseduction, there is the re-education of the victim.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you how sorry I am to reseduce you and get you back. And then that wears off, and I start to educate you on why it happened and how it was your fault.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, if you relate to that, get on TV.NewLife.com. Mm-hmm.
That's a good segment. I was impressed with what I was saying there.
Well, 50% of that team really knows what
guy?
They're talking about. All right. But that's TV.NewLife.com. You can get some free time to experience that. But there's a lot of healing there, a lot of transformation at TV.NewLife.com. Some people say it's the bargain of the century. I think so. We'll take a break and we'll come back for more of New Life Live. Really glad you're with us. We love it that you tune in to us. We'll take it anytime you'll take us. We'll be back. Hi, Steve Arterburn here, and I want to invite you to the 2017 New Life Recovery Conference. The theme is Recovery of the Soul. It's May 20th in Leesburg, Virginia, at Leesburg Community Church. You will love this conference if you're a life recovery group leader, if you're a person in recovery, or you're just interested in these biblically based 12 steps. We're going to talk about the neglect of the soul, God, not me, God's love in recovery. We're going to talk about grace over shame and the role of family and intervention. We're going to help you discover how to launch a life recovery group. We're going to help you create a ministry. But more than anything, we're going to help you restore your soul through recovery. Come join us. It's the New Life Recovery Conference, May 20th in Leesburg, Virginia. To sign up, go to liferecoverygroups.com. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back right before we go to the calls. Listen to this. Before I went to the intimacy in marriage weekend, my husband and I lived separate lives under the same roof. Now, there's an example of they're not divorced. They're not in the divorce statistic, but they're in the married but miserable category. And if you're
so
there,
sad.
This is going to help you. So I was lonely and I lacked hope. Well, that weekend, my hope was renewed. Hope that I could become more whole. Hope that I could fill bleak gaps of my childhood abuse left behind. Hope that we don't have to be lonely together under the same roof for the rest of our lives. I left with tangible things that we could do together to promote connection. See, that's the problem. People don't have tangible things to do. They don't have the options, the behaviors that can bring you back together. That's what happens at the intimacy intensive. Mylon Kay, myself, we do this with our great clinicians. If you want something that could change everything, call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Lisa from Gainesville, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Thank you. How could we help?
Well, thanks for taking my call. My question is, I met a guy shortly after he got separated, and he's in his second year of being separated, but, you know, divorce is imminent. And I'm wondering if I didn't, if I made the right decision in meeting him and kind of fell in love with him too soon.
Okay. Well, I'll let Jill start.
And so my question is,
second question.
So my question is, you know, how long should someone wait to start dating someone after separation and proceedings for divorce have started? Yeah.
Okay.
And all Lisa, right. What's your situation? You're single, divorced?
I'm divorced. I've been divorced for 10 years.
Okay.
And I'm Christian. Relationships are meaningful. I never wanted to bring someone into my child's life that wasn't going to be a great husband and mm-hmm. father. And I've just waited and waited mm-hmm. and waited. I mean, this,
right.
You know, society said, you're such a great person. Why aren't you married? And I said, no, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wait for the right one.
Okay, yeah. So you have been waiting, and now this guy is not even divorced yet. So why are you asking the question? Are you seeing anything?
I'm sorry?
Are you seeing anything that causes you concern?
Well, I mean, I feel like, of course, I see things. No one's perfect. And I'm sure he sees things with me, but I want to be good with this decision. And until his divorce is final, because I will say that the ex-wife is prolonging this, and that's her, you know, that's her thing. That's okay. I'm not slighting her for that. I just feel like before we even get into counseling, I need him to be divorced. So I guess I just want a second opinion.
Okay. And well, and just the fact that you're calling, you're doubting, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing. And I'm going to give you a minimum. Some people would give a maximum. Because when I was divorced, I didn't divorce her. She divorced me. When I was divorced, I heard this term, 5 years. And there was something in me, literally in the fifth year, there was something that happened. But I didn't wait 5 years. I waited, I think it was, I married after 3 years. But here's a minimum. 6 months after the divorce is when he might, maybe, consider dating someone. You've spent all the time that you need to spend, except for you don't have some really great Christian women around you to say, hey, wait a second. If that's really meant to be, you need to wait for him to get divorced, get separated, and then 6 months later consider whether or not you would even have a date. Now, I'm not talking about that's the healthiest 6 months. I'm talking about the minimum would be 6 months, no contact after he's married. You've heard the term transitional relationship, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what mm-hmm. worries me.
Well, if you become that, you are going to feel like such a fool. You're gonna be angry and hurt,
right.
And now you're gonna need to wait 2 years to get over that. So I would, of my own volition, say to him, you know what? I think we kind of messed up here. I think you need to go get a divorce. And then I think you need to spend time on your own so that if we ever do get together, you're not gonna be thinking, wow, I had a chance to be free, to see what the world was like.
Yeah.
She was already in my life, controlling me. I was out of control. She had me under her spell. All those kind of things that guys do. Don't fall into that trap. That's my two cents.
So,
Dave, Jill, what do you think?
Lisa, That is sound advice. And most people say, you know, wait till the person is divorced. However, I think the stats are pretty high that most divorced people don't wait. And part of it
That's
is
right.
for the very reason that Steve has said, and especially men. Men have a harder time being alone than women do and typically remarry within 1 to 2 years after a separation or divorce. And so just be aware of that, you know, whatever happened in his previous marriage, he's now looking to kind of fill that void. And you may be the greatest gal ever, but he may be blinded by his own need right now.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Guys, anything else for...
We had a couple more things.
I thought maybe we had a couple more things we want to share.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to tag on to that, this would have been good for our previous caller, Paul, too, is that the initial stages of dating and love relationships really have a lot to do with self-love, because it's how we view ourselves in the reflection of someone else's eyes and how that comes back to us. It feels so good. And when you've just been in a situation that's been, you know, difficult, rotten, you know, a relationship has ended, you want to feel like you're still the good guy. And so to see yourself in someone else's eyes just feels great. So that's an important thing to remember.
Well, and the other part of it that I'm concerned about, and we've already touched on it, is that you fill a hole in him. You know, when somebody divorces, I remember the phrase, "A piece of me is missing." It's like a part of my heart has been torn out, and when somebody else comes along mm-hmm. and spends time with me, that it kind of fills that hole, and I don't have to deal with it. He's got some things to deal with, so I would just really go slow. And I wouldn't cut him off completely, because you built a friendship. But I would keep it at a friendship level to see what happens, because he's got some work to do once this is finalized. And you want that work to be finished before you get into a relationship mm-hmm. with him.
And it would be good if he were in some therapy now by himself.
It would. Take it from me. When you get divorced, there are two other D's you're looking for. You're looking for a distraction from the pain, and you're looking for something
so true.
Delightful that will ease the pain mm-hmm. that you're not distracted from. And so you're that. You're a distraction. You're delightful. And you need to get him free from you so he can heal at least for 6 months. Now, I just said least. All right. So I'm going to send you, is this the one? He's not. Well, he might not
he
be
might
Mr.
Be.
Wrong. He
might
just be. Might be Mr. Not Right Now.
Yeah.
That would be
mm-hmm.
probably it. And so we'll send that to you. And anybody else, you can get that book if you're dating or not. Is this the one? Helps you find out how to date, too, and what to do before you settle down. And then there's even stuff in there about what to do after you get married. All right. Let me tell you about one other thing that's happening here just around the corner. May 20th, Life Recovery Conference. Dr. Dave Stoop, Steve Arterburn are going to do that in Leesburg, Virginia. Dave, tell people how fantastic the Life Recovery Conference is from 9 to 5 on a Saturday.
Well, we did it last fall in the West Coast. This is our East Coast version, and it's a packed day of quick sessions, one after the other, and it's for people who are in recovery. It's for people who are in recovery ministries. It's for people that are just curious about recovery, and we've got other speakers besides Steve and myself who are coming in to talk about sex addiction and the family and things like that. It's an incredible day of information and inspiration both. So we hope you'll come sign up and come and join mm-hmm. us. And it's exciting. I'm excited to be there.
All right. Well, it's not only exciting to be around other people on the same path. It's exciting to discover a path that you didn't know could apply to you. Mm-hmm. Call us. It doesn't cost you very much to come, and it'll be a great day. It's the Life Recovery Conference. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to liferecoverygroups.com. Right now, I'm going to talk with our new friend, about to be Carrie, from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Huge station there, and we're glad you called us. How could we help today?
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My main question that I'm having right now is I need clarity on whether I have been narcissistically abused.
Okay.
And
what happened?
What to do next.
Okay. What happened?
Well, about 3 years ago, I was a single mom. I had my own home. I have a great job. Things were really going fine for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I admit I was looking for a mate.
Yeah.
I had been divorced at that time about 6 years.
Okay.
So I at the time that I met the fellow that I'm going to tell you about, I was reading Avoiding Mr. Wrong.
Uh-huh.
I could see that he had the criteria, some of them, of Mr. Wonderful, so to speak.
Okay, right.
And he made me a lot of promises. He promised me, you know, that if I moved in with him and got engaged to him, that, you know, that I was the best thing since white bread.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved out of my home, moved in with him. Within about 2 or 3 weeks, he'd yell and he'd raise his voice about how I wasn't contributing enough
mm-hmm.
monetarily.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I barely got moved in here yet, and you're already making these demands on me, and you know I'm a single mom, and I don't have a huge amount of resources.
So you said that was 3 years ago. How long have you been broken up from him?
About 3 weeks.
Only oh. 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. Whoa, you've been abused, yes.
Wow, that's rough.
But I had been with him almost 3 years. We dated for about a year and 3 months before I moved in with him,
mm-hmm.
and I lived with him for about 13 months.
Now, if you found Avoiding Mr. Wrong, you're probably a believer, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, how did you justify moving in with him, which would go against mm-hmm. every value that you hold so dear? What would you say, just to help other people understand how that happens?
I would say that I believed that we were going to move in together and the marriage was going to happen very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Because I had a lot of good feelings for him, especially
right.
since he was in the Army, very decorated soldier.
Yeah.
Seemed like it's the type of person who's very, I'd have to say he is very, I don't know what you call it.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter because it's just going to be
very
wonderful.
Charming. Very
yeah,
charming.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Wonderful, charming. Well, the fact that you were reading Avoiding Mr. Wrong shows you the power of my books, that you absolutely move on in and be with him for 3 years. So what is the question for us then?
My question is, how can I'm having a hard time following my own intuition because mm-hmm. he's telling me that I'm incapable of loving because I wouldn't relinquish all my money.
Yeah.
I wouldn't relinquish all my time. And
why
all my
would
attitude.
You? Why would you listen to him? Why would you have a conversation about anything, especially about relinquishing money? All of those things. Why would you do that? You aren't married to him, right?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Are you planning on marrying him?
At this point, no.
Well,
that's not a strong enough
no. Were you before? Were you before you called? Were you set to marry him before you made the phone call?
3 weeks ago.
Oh, 3 weeks ago. No, I was trying to go no contact with him.
Okay.
And then he started love bombing me, of course. You know, sending flowers and.
All right. So now I'm going to turn on
for the first time ever.
I'm going to play the broken record that we've played here so often. I even hate to give the advice. It's so repetitive and redundant. But the only reason all of this is happening is that you don't know how to connect deeply and intimately with women. Otherwise, a couple of girlfriends or one would have said to you a long time ago, I'm not letting you see that guy again. I'm not letting you move in. I'm not going to let you do this to yourself. But you don't have any of those folks to hold you back. And that's where your focus needs to be. Get out of the house from him. Separate at all costs. If you did marry him, you will be shocked at how bad it can get. You think it's bad now.
Yeah.
Wait.
It will get worse.
It got bad once he got the goal of getting you in his house. Wait till he has you married to him. It will be horrific. Don't believe me? Call up horribledecisionsofmylife.com and you'll get this, whatever it would be. Mm-hmm. So many women going, why did I do this? All right. That's my plea to you.
You know what happens, Jill? Carrie, is, and this should be the big red flag, is you may have had good relationships with your girlfriends, but my guess is he gradually pulled you away from that and occupied more of your time.
There you go.
And your intuition got colored and confused by the caring and love that you felt, whereas your girlfriends would have a objective intuition that would say what Steve just said, why are you with such a guy? And you got to listen to them so that you don't fall into that same trap again. But don't go back.
And these kinds of guys are addictive, and we keep chasing that original
high. Very charming with them. At first.
Oh, yeah.
If you read Avoiding Mr. Wrong, you know that one of the first things he did was try to isolate you from all other relationships.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So anyway, reread that book. I'll send you Finding Mr. Right. All right, we'll be back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Guys, any other comment there?
Well, we were just saying that it's so easy to live off of potential and that false hope that, oh, but he can be so good and so nice and so wonderful. If I could just get back to that, if I could just act in such a way that could get back to that place.
You'd have to back up in time, and then there would still be that, you know, that unfolding of all the negative stuff at some point.
I know. It's you don't want to see that, right?
That's why you got to have some objective observers.
Mm-hmm. Or you will remain blind. Sad.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have a matching gift, and if you give us a gift of any amount, I'm going to send you the book, Regret-Free Living. If you don't give, you'll regret it. The book helps you get over regret. You can't lose by giving. You get the book, Regret-Free Living. How many of us, you know, some of us, it's the shame of the past, but others, it's just regretting decisions that have been made. And so we worry about the future, regret the past, and we're anxious in the present. Not fun.
Is there really a website you refer to, or is that one you're going to start?
I may have to start it, Dave. I don't know. It's not actually there. Anyway, and when you join Club New Life, we send you the Take Your Life Back Day by Day devotional. Hope you'll love that. 365 days of hopefully real wisdom there. But right now, let's go back to the phone call. You guys, why don't you pick our final caller, and we'll go to that caller, and you can pull it up right there, okay?
Well, that's a...
It's a big chore, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, let's go to Lynn in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
Listens on KGFT.
Lynn, Hello. How you doing? Hi, welcome.
I'm fine.
What's going on? What's going on today?
I have an issue where I have... Well, I've isolated myself for my family to a degree because there's been lots of things going on in the family that have really hurt me. And because of the type of people that my family are, they don't like to be corrected. They don't like to be told that they've done anything wrong. So rather than saying anything to them, I would just isolate myself. And like a lot of times we would have gatherings, and if I would go to them, I would leave feeling horrible because I couldn't say what I wanted to say to them, but, you know, I would kind of push myself to go to gather just to say that I went.
What's the question for us? Because we're almost out of time. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm wondering if I have a daughter who told me, she said, you know, my, it wouldn't do any good to talk to them, but I'm really pressed. I don't know how to approach them should I pray about it, or should I tell them how I've been feeling all this time? Or, you know, sometimes people say, well, things have happened for so many years, just go ahead and let it go.
I think your question should be, should I keep going back to get hurt again, or should I find a new family that God has for me? Because that's part of what he does sometimes, is when the family of origin is so dysfunctional and hurtful that he, in the body of Christ, finds new families for us. And I don't know why you would want to confront them or challenge them, because they're not going to listen. It's an established pattern. I don't know why you expect it to be different when you go to be with them. And I would just find some new relationships.
Well, and I guess I wonder, is there anything authentic that happens amongst family members? Is there anyone that will talk a little bit more real about the family? And when you say anything, what do they do with it? You know, so looking at that, because again, yeah, they're not going to just be different than who they are. So sometimes we maybe put something out there that's a little, you know, less serious or less vulnerable, and see what they do with it. And are they willing to go a little deeper? Are they willing to talk about issues or something different than the typical conversations that happen at family gatherings?
Well, you know.
But I'd be careful.
I would just say, when you are disconnected from someone, now you guys might argue with this, and if you do, please do. But when you're disconnected and you want to reconnect, three magic words are, I miss you. People love to hear that. I miss you. And just after you say, I miss you, no matter what they say, listen to it.
Right.
Don't think you have to say anything but listen. And then when they finish talking, ask them a question and listen to the answer. I mean, that's really one of the best ways that you can reconnect, because people want to talk about themselves. They don't want to hear you defend yourself or explain yourself and all of those kinds of things. So, I miss you. Kind of nice.
And maybe you talk in generalities as to what the family is like, rather than how it affects you. Think of it in the bigger context. If you want to talk to that one person in the family that has a little bit more openness to what's going on.
Yeah, talk in generalities. I do it all the time. It really works. Anyway, hey, we love the fact that you're with us, and if you love being with us, you could help us. But more importantly, we want to help you. The phone number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's that simple. 1-800-NEWLIFE. You just call us, and there's somebody there that wants to help you. It's either a book, it's a workshop, it's an intensive. Perhaps it's a counselor in your area. I don't know what it is, but if you call, we can help you. If you don't call, we can't help you. And, of course, it's confidential. We've never broadcast anybody calling in wanting help to our 1-800-NEW-LIFE line. So please don't struggle alone, and don't think that there aren't people that can help you. We can help you. We've been doing it since 1988, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you don't get through, come to Leesburg, Virginia on May the 20th to the Life Recovery Conference that Dave and I are going to do. It's really a new life recovery conference, because it's life recovery and it's new life. This is the 25th anniversary of the Life Recovery Bible, and it has helped so many people. Over 2 million people have been helped with that Bible. And so come hear about the Christian version of the 12 steps and the foundation of the 12 steps. And same thing, it's based on biblical principles. Now, if you need a book, the two people that are on with have written some great ones. Dr. Jill Hubbard has written Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. And some of you need to read the book Forgiving Our Aunts and Uncles. But this one is more specific about your immediate family. And then Dr. Dave Stoop and his wife Jan have written Smart Love. A lot of times you make stupid decisions when you fall in love, but you can be a smart, loving person. You can have emotional intelligence in a love relationship. That's what this beautiful book is about. One of my favorite colors ever. If you haven't seen it, go to newlife.com, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Both of those books will really help you. And then the book I talked about, The Mediterranean Love Plan, 7 Secrets from the Cultures of the Mediterranean that will restore or build the passion in your marriage. And you know, one of them is about life and longevity. Talk about the island of Icaria over there in Greece, where people forget to die. They have the key. It's youth, and they find it not in a fountain. They find it in different ways, and I tell you all about that with my wife in that book. We really do love you and care about you. We want the best for you. We want the best for the people that you love and care about. Tell them about the program. Tell them that they can find us on Sirius XM 131, 10 a.m. Pacific time. They can find us on the app at newlife.com, and they can get help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time here on New Life.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.